All right, Andy Mazur joins us. He's part of the broadcast team down there for the San Diego Padres. Andy, nice to have you with us on our show.
Marty, good to be with you.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. And, you know, last night, seven singles, and the Padres had singles as well, and I was waiting for the ball to be flying out of there. How is the park playing now? And maybe you could describe the changes for the fans.
Yeah, absolutely. In the offseason, a whole bunch of studies were done over the last three or four years about baseballs that a lot of guys thought had a chance to get out of the ballpark, especially late in games, and didn't do so because of the dimensions of the park and also because of the nighttime marine layer, the thick and heavy air that you get around here because the park is so close to the water, that they decided that the biggest need was to bring in the fences in right field, and they did from right around the that little indentation that we like to call the Petco porch around here. From the indentation there all the way out to right center field was brought in about 11 feet total. So the power alley now is about 389, and it was about 410 at one point. So wow. I think that makes it a little more fair. They've also dropped the height of the wall down to 8 feet, so it gives the outfielders a chance to bring a ball back. But, you know, we've only seen three home runs here so far this year, and they've all been by opposing batters that probably would not have been home runs last year, but were this year. There was two in our first series here at home against the Dodgers, Juan Uribe, and the first homestand, one against the Dodgers and one against the Rockies, Todd Helton. They went just over the right field wall, and then Ryan Braun hit one into the other part of this ballpark that was brought in a little bit, and that was in left center to accommodate the both bullpens being in left center now, so that was brought in about 5 feet. So, yeah, other than those three home runs, we really haven't seen a whole bunch of difference like a lot of people maybe thought we would.
Well, do you like it? I know, look, we've seen so many games from Petco, and, you know, I remember Posey going down the right field line and against Latos at the end of 2010, and then there's some bombs, Brett Pill hitting the building, I remember that, down the left field line. But balls generally went to die in those power alleys, so I imagine from your broadcast standpoint, it gets a little more exciting.
It does get a little more exciting, and I think it gives the guys in the dugout a feeling that, you know, a three-run lead late in the game is not like a seven-run lead, which is what it felt like, because you know, there were guys that would go back to the dugout shaking their heads, and for better or worse, it got into a lot of players' heads. I mean, I remember Ryan Lubbock getting traded to the Padres in 2010, a guy that had hit 37 home runs in a year in his big league career before, and really struggled here in this ballpark. Hit a couple home runs to straightaway center field, and then during the 2011 season, he was dealt to the Pirates, and obviously now with on the disabled list, but with the Cincinnati, obviously showing that he still has that power swing. So it did get into some guys' heads. I think now it's more of a fair ballpark. I don't think it still is a hitter's park per se. I think it's still more slanted a little bit toward the pitching, but I think it's a little more fair overall.
Well, Zito is a fly ball pitcher, and his numbers, as I said during the opening of the show, have not been good down in San Diego. Of course, he's a different Zito now. He had that 16-game winning streak and everything else, putting his name up there with Carl Hubble. But it'd be interesting for me to see how he does down there today. Does it favor left-handed or right-handed hitters, in your opinion? Is there any change that way?
No, I still think it's a right-handed hitter's park. I mean, there's home runs down that left field line toward the Western Metal Building and also in that alley, which is about 365, 370. And I think even at night, those balls will still go out. So I still think it kind of slants toward the right-handed hitters, if any. And now they have that added bonus. They can go opposite field to get a pretty good swing on one like Juan Uribe did and knock it out of the park to right center field. That was a daytime shot. But you talk about Barry Zito and his struggles down here. I'm obviously a kid. He's from this area and went to high school in these parts. And for whatever reason, the Padres have had some success against him here in this ballpark.
Well, we'll see what happens tonight. Eric Stoltz, we saw up here. As I said, he's a contact pitcher, former Dodger, and doesn't give up many walks. He's got a good strikeout ratio to walks right now. But Posey got him for a two-run homer. He's had success against the Giants. What do you see with Stoltz and Zito? We've talked about Zito. What about the Stoltz side of this matchup?
Yeah, with Eric Stoltz, he actually proved to be one of the more dependable starters for this ball club toward the end of last year when things started to turn in a positive direction after a tough start for the Padres a year ago. He was 8-3 as a starter a year ago, picked up off of the scrappy, basically. The White Sox didn't want him, so the Padres picked him up and through a series of injuries put him into the starting rotation. And I wouldn't say he was a stopper, so to speak, but he certainly gave everybody a good feeling every time he took the ball and went out there 60 feet, 6 inches from home plate. He's a veteran guy. He knows his limitations. He knows he's not going to blow a ball by anybody. I think the fastest one I've seen him throw this year is 88 miles an hour. But, you know, he likes to flip that curveball up there just like Barry Zito does. And the slowest one we've seen is 64 to this year. He wants to get one there to 60 or maybe 59. But
I may get a bat.
Once in a while, it's that Bugs Bunny type of pitch where a guy gets those big eyes and wants to swing so hard that he comes up empty. But he's been a nice surprise for the Padres since last year and since they got him.
Very nice. Andy Mazur with us. A pleasure. We've had Andy on when he was back with the Cubs and, of course, with the Padres. Andy, the Padres, are they going to make a difference in this division? And you've had a chance to look at it. You know, L.A. is close to you, Arizona, Colorado, and, of course, the Giants. How do you size up this division vis-a-vis the Padres?
Yeah, you know, this division, it's so hard to call. And you know, from being around it as long as you have as well, that, you know, basically this division comes down to starting pitching and the teams that stay healthy. I mean, yeah, obviously there's some big bats in Arizona and some big bats in Colorado. But we've seen over the years that good pitching will stop those good hitters. And, you know, the Padres are still kind of banged up and haven't really had their full, what they projected to be their opening day starting lineup out there for more than a couple of games with Chase Headley getting injured at the beginning of the year, actually in spring training and missing the first 14 games. Carlos Quentin had the 8-game suspension, and now we have Cameron Maven on the disabled list. So, you know, it's kind of a hit or miss kind of thing here with the fact that things have not gotten off to a great start as far as the injuries have been concerned as well. But, you know, I know the Padres like their starting pitcher and they like to put it up against anybody. But, you know, obviously I would think if you had to rank that, I mean, the Giants to me still have the best guys 1 through 5. The Dodgers have struggled mightily with injuries, especially in that starting rotation. The sleeper to me is the Rockies, to be honest with you. I mean, we saw them come in here and the Padres opened up their first road trip was in Colorado as well. They're getting surprisingly good pitching from their guys, and they can hit the ball a little bit as well. So I guess I'm going to kind of hem and haw around your question here and say that the Padres still feel that they can make some noise in this division.
All right. Well, I'll tell you one thing about the Rockies, and the more I watch them, they're 15-8, and we had Bernie Pleskov on, you know, Bernie, earlier in the show and talked about their hitting. But I'm seeing a little more depth in their pitching staff, and that's like the Padre pitching staff. I've said it for years. Buddy Black and when Kevin Towers was there, they knew how to get that 7th, 8th, and 9th done, and they did it last night. And I think the Rockies, to some extent, understand that, and you're seeing a little better depth in the Rocky pitching. So that's what I see.
Yeah, and you know, and the thing is, with that whole experiment that they had going there last year with 4 innings or 75 pitches really was limiting guys, and I don't know if they were really developing the young pitchers the way that they absolutely wanted to. They needed to try something and give them credit for actually sticking to their guns and seeing it through, and then give them credit also for realizing that it didn't work. And you get Jorge De La Rosa back, and obviously he means a whole bunch to that starting rotation, and you're right, the back end of their bullpen. I wouldn't compare it to the one the Padres have here with the fact that you can count on one guy in the 6th, one guy in the 7th, one guy in the 8th, and one guy in the 9th. But you're right. Their pitching has kind of surprised me a little bit here early on.
Yeah, they're starting to get slots, and that's the key to a bullpen, so they know where they are. Andy, the buzz in the park, they still drawing well? And I know when we do these shows, we hear Giant fans all over the place, especially San Diego. But is there good crowds? I mean, is baseball thriving down there?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's thriving, but I would say that it's doing pretty well. I mean, I think, you know, obviously there were some fans that were really intrigued by the way the Padres finished the season a year ago. I think there were some that were a little disappointed in the offseason that the team did not make a whole bunch of moves, barely made any moves, to be honest with you, in the offseason. And re-signing one of their own, basically Jason Marquis, was the highlight of the offseason. To this point, or to that point at least. But, you know, it's always great when, especially early in the year, you get the Dodgers rolling through here, you get the Rockies rolling through, and obviously the Giants attract. Obviously, we know that the Giants fans travel very well. I looked out from the press box yesterday, and it was tough to tell where we were.
I know.
There are a lot of, I mean, I'm outside the ballpark right now, as a matter of fact. I'm looking around, and there are a lot of Giants fans milling around the downtown San Diego area and have been most of the morning.
Funny. Hey, thanks for taking the time, as always. A pleasure, and we'll look forward to seeing you up here in San Francisco.
Sounds good, Marty. Always a pleasure.
All right. That is Andy Mazur, part of the broadcast crew for the San Diego Padres. Boy, he knows his stuff.